Here we are, Hebrew Club. We are on Genesis chapter 44, beginning at verse 25. And we are right in the middle of Judah's speech to Joseph, remember. And here Judah comes across as a man who is humbly repentant over what has happened. And he's actually pleading for the life of Benjamin. And so we pick it up at verse 25, and we'll be able to finish the chapter today and get into chapter 45 even. All right. Verse 25, Vayomer Avinu Shuvu Shivru Lanu Ma'at Okel. And our father said, Shuvu, remember that's the imperative, return, Shivru, buy for us a Ma'at Okel, a little bit of food. Ma'at here is a substantive that means a little bit. Very often it's used as an adverb, right? But here is the substantive, buy for us a little food. Verse 26, Vanomer lo nukal la redet, im yesha chinu hakaton itanu, veyarad nu kilo nukal lirot pene haish, veachinu hakaton enenu itanu. And we said, we are not able. Okay, now what's the next construction? We are not able, la redet. What is that?
Infinitive.
Good. It's an infinitive construct. From what root?
Yarad.
Good, very good. Yarad. And notice its relationship to the finite verb. It completes it or is the object. We are not able. That first word is a call, perfect from yakal. Yeah. I'm sorry. It's a call imperfect. The ooh is very strange for that first yod, but it's kind of unique with this word. And we said, we will not be able to go down. Im yesh achinu. If there is our brother, the small one, with us. Okay? So literally, the yesh just functions almost as a predicate here. If our brother, the small one. So in English you'd say, if our youngest brother is with us, v'yaradnu, we can go down. Okay? Ki lo nukal, but we are not able, I'm sorry, but not will we be able, lirot. Again, notice that it's an infinitive from ra'a, and it completes the verb nukal. But we will not be able to see the face of the man. The Achinu, and our brother, the young one, is not with us. So unless our youngest brother is with us. Notice how in English you would have to change that. Okay. So notice that it's really not hard Hebrew, but to put it in more idiomatic English, you have to try to figure out what he's trying to convey here. Are there any questions about any forms for verse 26? Alright, we've run across most of these forms before, correct? Alright, verse 27. Vayomer avdika avi elenu atem yeratem ki shenaim yalda li ishto. Now notice how he's still referring to his father in the third person. And your servant, my father, said elenu, to us. Notice how he continues to, he just doesn't say my father. He says, your servant, my father. So notice how he identifies him by his class and then by a more proper title for him. Your servant, my father. So again, as we talked about last week, he's being very deferential in his speech, and he's talking about his father in a certain way to put him in the best light vis-a-vis Joseph. So your servant, my father, said to us, Atem yedatem. Notice the pronoun here for emphasis. You yourselves know, Kishanim, that two Ishti, two my wife bore for me. And obviously you have to understand sons. See? That two sons my wife, Yalda, bore to me. Okay? Verse 27, any questions about that one? All right, good. Verse 28. Vayete ha'echad me'iti va'omar ak tarof Torah velo re'itiv ad hena. Okay, now Judas continuing his speech, and the one went out from me or has left me. Notice that that vayete is just from yatsa. And he's referring obviously to Joseph. And the one, i.e. Joseph, has left me. And I said, ah, surely. Now look at this next construction. Tarof, Torah. You can almost guess what it is even if you've never seen this root, right? What's the first form?
Infinitive absolute.
Infinitive absolute, and you already got the root down, right? The second one is then the finite verb. So look at how strange the pointing is. Can anyone make a guess as to what it might possibly be? It's from Taraf, right?
Participle?
It could be a participle, but remember when you have an infinitive absolute, the following word is usually going to be a finite verb. So it's going to be a perfect of some kind. And it looks to be either a call passive or a pu'al form. All right, remember those are identical. Taraf means to tear up. So if this was a pu'al or a call passive, it would mean to be torn, right? Now, what is the infinitive absolute doing here? How does it function? Right. Remember, it signifies the speaker's belief or commitment to what he's saying. In other words, you would not translate this, he has been torn up to bits, or he has really been torn up. But it's the speaker's commitment. Certainly, he has been torn up. In other words, the speaker firmly believes that that's what has happened. So, Ach Tarof Torah would be translated, and he said, surely, he, Joseph, namely, has been torn to bits. And not have I seen him till now, up to this day, up to now. Ad Hena. Okay? Questions about verse 28? Any forms? Okay?
Yeah. The first verb?
Yes.
Vayetse.
Vayetse. That's from Yatzah, and it's an imperfect. Remember, those first yuds have the seirei underneath the performative, or the prefix. So, yashav, what would the imperfect be? Yeshev. Here, yasah, yetze. So, this is a call, imperfect vav consecutive. Okay? All right. Verse 29. Ulekachtem gam etzeh me'impanai bekarahu ason behoradtem et sevati bera'a she'olah. Okay, so it's something like, and you will take, or should you take also et zeh, this one, now he's referring to Benjamin, should you take also this one from my face, from before me, and should ason, should harm or disaster kara happen to him. Look at that form. Notice that that's kaf resh hey. It's a third hey verb, which means to befall or to happen. And it has a third masculine singular suffix. Mm-hmm. All right. So, should you take also this one from me, and should disaster befall him or happen to him, then horad tem. Then you would bring down. What's the root of horad tem?
Yarad,
very good. And it's a hiphil from Yarad. Then you would bring down, Sevati, you would bring down my gray head, Bera'a, in grief or in pain, She'olah, to She'ol. Alright. So notice that Judah is done quoting his father here, Jacob. Right. Now he takes up his own plea at verse 30. Any questions about 29? Alright, very good. Verse 30. Ve'ata kevoi el av deka'avi v'hanahar na'ar einenu itanu v'nafsho keshura b'nafsho. Okay. And so, ve'ata. Notice he's kind of drawing a conclusion to what he said. And so ve'ata is much in place here. And so, can I notice this next construction? Kevoi. What do you think you got here with the bo'i? You know the root, right? It's from bo. You got a cough in front of it, which tells you what kind of form is it most likely.
You mean a temporal?
It's probably a temporal clause. And what kind of form is the verb? probably an infinitive, right? Remember, when you have a preposition attached to a verb form, it usually can't be a finite verb. So probably an infinitive. And so notice that the subject of the infinitive is the suffix. Right? And so, kevoi, as soon as I come to your servant, my father, vehana'ar, and the youth is not with us. Alright? Now he has a little parenthesis here. So as soon as I come to your servant, my father, and the youth is not with us, and his life, keshura, is bound up with his life. Keshura is what kind of verb? It's call, pass, depart. Very good. From kashar, right? And his life is bound up with his life. In other words, Benjamin's life is bound up with Jacob's life. Okay? So the whole thing again, this is the first part of the whole sentence, and the second thing concludes in verse 31. See? And so, as soon as I come to your servant, my father, and the youth is not with us, parentheses, and since, see, his life is bound up with his life, vehaya, it will happen, kir oto, now you know this form. Okay? Just look at the kevoi, and now look at the kir oto, because they're the same form. So what form is kir oto?
Infinitive.
Good. Infinitive absolute from ra'ah this time. It will happen as soon as he sees. Okay, after a verb of perception, what kind of clause are you looking for? Notice what comes next. An object clause with a key, right? As soon as he sees key, that ein hana'ar, that the youth is not. See? That the youth is gone, or in more idiomatic English, that the youth is not with us. The itanu, he just left out itanu, as you can see, from the previous line, see? It will come to pass as soon as he sees that the youth is not with us. Vamay, then he will die. Notice that vamay is a vav plus perfect, right? Okay? And since it's a one-syllable word accent on the first syllable, the vav has a commas under it rather than a schwa. So as soon as he sees that the youth is not with us, he will die. Vehoridu, and avdeka, and your servants will bring down the sevat avdeka, the gray head of your servant, our father, beyagon, in grief, sheolah, to sheol. So does everybody see how verse 30 and 31 are connected? Verse 30 is kind of the whole, the beginning introduction, and verse 31 takes it up. But notice how it goes. Let me read it again. And so, as soon as I come to your servant, my father, and the youth is not with us, and his life is bound up with his life, then it will happen, as soon as he sees that the youth is not with us, he will die. See? And your servants will bring down the gray head of your servant, our father, in yagon, in grief, to Sheol. Okay? Any questions on those two verses? Okay, we're reaching kind of the climax of the story here. Alright? Judah continues, verse 32. Ki avdika arav et hana'ar me'im avi lemor, in lo avi enu eleka vechatati le'avi kol hayamim. Alright? Ki, for your servant, arav et hana'ar. Now, arav can mean a lot of things. It can mean to become evening, it can be mean to mix, it can mean to be pleasant, it can also mean to give a guarantee or to give a pledge on behalf of. And that's how it means here. For your servant has guaranteed the youth. See, or he has made a pledge on behalf of the youth, me'im, with Avi, with my father. Everybody see that? Same saying. Remember what he said. If you let us go down and something happens to the kid, what did he say? Does anyone remember? What did he say to his father? He said, right, his sons. Remember, he said, you can take my son's life if anything happens to him. And that's what he's referring to with this pledge, saying, if lo avi enu. Okay, If not, if I do not bring him. Notice that that's from Bo, Hipfield Imperfect. Right? If I do not bring him to you, v'chatati, then I will incur guilt. I will be guilty to my father all hayamim, from then on, all the days, forever. Alright, there will be no way to get rid of his guilt. Alright?
So, for hayamim, you can say all day long.
For all the days. I think not for all day long, but for all time. Notice it's an accusative of extent of time here. For all days, for all time. Okay?
The Avienu?
Yes.
Is Hipfil?
Yes, Avienu, right. Is Hipfil from Bo? Plus a third masculine singular suffix. And what's that dagesh in the nun doing, as long as we're there?
No.
The energic nun, remember, that marks imperfect verbs. A lot of times when you add the third masculine singular suffix, you'll have that energic nun. So without it, it would be avienu. See, the nun has assimilated. And the dagesh preceded by the short vowel tells you that. Avi ennu. Good. Any other questions about 32? All right. Now here's another ve'ata. So you know he's getting to the point of what he's been saying now. So you notice the conclusion. Ve'ata. And so, yeshiv nav dekatachat hana'ar. Eved lado ni. Ve'hana'ar ya'al im echav. There's a couple interesting constructions here. And so, okay, yeshev na. Okay, first of all, let's look at that verb form. Yeshev na. What's the root?
Yashav.
Yashav. And notice it's a call imperfect, but notice it's shortened. There's a segol under the shin rather than a seire, right? Notice that you have that na particle. What does the na indicate? Particle of politeness, entreaty of an inferior to a superior. And that's how he's been throughout this whole thing, very deferential. So notice that, and so may your servant please, see, or, and so let your servant please, or please let your servant sit tachat hana'ar, in place of the youth, in place of the boy. See, notice how he's making his entreaty. Please let your servant sit in place of the Nahar. Eved la'adonai, as a servant to my Lord. Notice he doesn't say as a servant to you. He's still using third person here. As a servant to my Lord. Okay? Now notice this next form. Vehana'ar ya'al. What's the root of ya'al?
Allah.
Allah, right? Allah. And notice that it's shortened. Shortened tells you what form it is. It's not a full imperfect. It's a jussive form. Just like Yeshev. And so notice that he's still making a request here. And as for the boy, let him go with Echav, his brother. See, let him go up with his brother. So the whole thing. And so, please let your servant sit in place of the boy, as a servant to my Lord. And as for the boy, let him go up with his brothers. Very interesting constructions there. Okay? Questions about 33?
The things like as a servant or...
Yes.
The as are added in English in order to make sense.
Right. What I'm doing is asking myself, what's the relationship between this utterance, Eved La Adonai, and Tachat Hana'ar? See what I'm asking? Notice that there's no marked preposition or sign as to what the relationship is, and so we have to fill in that gap in interpretation. And so I'm suggesting that that's the best translation. See, let him dwell in place of the servant. So it's a further description of his of the position that he wants to take, and that's why I translated it in English as "as." I mean, you could probably do it in English; it'd sound a little rougher. May your servant sit in place of the boy, a servant to my Lord. See, you could do it that way, and we'd understand the same thing. You could even put in, let him be a servant to the Lord, which would smooth it out a little more. I mean, either way, whether you're making the relationship more or less explicit, you're kind of conveying the same thing. Okay? Verse 34. Kiek ehelech el avi v'hanahar einenu etanu pen ere barov asher yimsa et avi. For a, how can I go up? Notice he changes from third person to first person here. I think maybe he's getting desperate. For how can I go up to my father? And the boy is not with us. See, how can I go up to my father if the boy is not with us? Lest I look upon the again, pain, the grief, the evil which would find my father. See? And I think the Jewish Publication Society has an interesting translation for this lest clause. Again, as another plea, let me not look upon the agony or grief which would come on my father, or which would find my father. Okay? Now here we get the big transition, verse chapter 45. Velo Yaakov Yosef lehit apek lekoha nitzavim alav vayikra hotziu kol ish me'alai. The lo amad ish ito behit vadal Yosef el echav, and not was Joseph able lehit apek. We've had that word before. Remember earlier in the story, he was not able to what? Restrain himself, to control himself. Hit pael from avak, and he, Joseph, was not able to restrain himself lekol to all ha nitzavim, all the bystanders. That's from Natsav, a nifal participle used as a substantive. All the bystanders around him, or all those who were standing around him. Okay? Vayikra, and so he called out, Hotziu kol ish. Go out, see, Yatsam means to go out, I'm sorry. Here's a hifil from to go out, so to bring out or take out, kol ish. Every man from alive, from me. Okay, so notice you have an imperative here, hotziu. Bring out every man from me. Velo amad ish. And not did stand a man with him. And no one stood with him. So he was all alone. Behit vada. In his... Now, what's the root here?
Yada.
Notice a hit pael, and it would be a nice reflexive meaning, in his revealing himself, in Joseph's revealing himself to his brothers. See? And a man did not stand with him. Now notice the temporal nuance of behit vada. And a man did not stand with him, or no one stood with him, while Joseph was making himself known to his brothers. Okay? Questions about verse 1? Okay. Verse 2. Vayitain et kolo bivki vayishma'u mitzrayim vayishma beit paro. Okay. And he gave out his voice bivki, in weeping. That ki is just to weep. He gave out his voice in weeping. Okay. Vayishma'u, and the Egyptians heard, vayishma beit paro, and Pharaoh heard. We'll do a couple more here, maybe one more. Vayomer Yosef el Echav, Ani Yosef Haod Avichai, Velo Yaklu Echav Lahanoto, Toki Nivhalu Mipana. And Joseph said to his brothers, I'm Joseph. Haod. Now notice you have Od plus an interrogative hey here. So I am Joseph. Is still my father chai? Is still my father alive? Velo Yaklu. Here's a Yakal. It's kind of a theme word through here, right? Not able. And his brothers were not able, what? La'anot. You can figure it's coming. Notice this construction. To answer him from Anna. Ki Niv Halu. For they were dumbfounded before him. That's a nifal from Baha'u, means to be troubled, to be disturbed. So they were astonished, speechless before him. And you can imagine why. All right. Good. Well, it's 12:30, so we'll stop here and take it up. Any questions up through verse 3? All right.
Very good.
Thanks for coming.
Has anyone done kind of a comparative study on in the Egyptian and court language how you were to speak to superiors?
Oh, that's a good question. There's probably been stuff done. I mean, you know,
has a definite method.
There's a definite method, right? You can see that there's a kind of a world behind the text that is driving some of the way that they're speaking to him, right? I mean, you can imagine it even from our day and age that would be the case, right? Okay, good. All right, see you next week then.